Dan.
Yes.
I want you to channel your inner energies. Wait, first, take a bunch of drugs.
Okay.
Okay, here's a drug. All right, here's a drug. Yep, that's a you taking a drug sound. Now I want you to channel your inner energies towards Ricky Gervais. All right? Mm. And I want you to make his hair fall out.
Ricky Hairlessism. Ricky Hairlessism.
Did it work?
I think so.
All right. You did it. Well, that's done.
Well, if Ricky Gervais is bald now, you can thank me.
Why would we do that to him? I don't know.
Why would anybody do anything to anyone?
I like Ricky.
Why do we exist?
That's, whoa, dude. You're deep. Has anyone ever told you that? You're like a deep dude.
That's such a shallow way to be deep, though. What if we don't even exist, man?
What if we're like constructs, dude?
I mean, technically, we're just a voice on the internet.
That's right.
You don't know if we're an actual podcast. We might just be a voice in your head.
Anyways, hey, this is a podcast. This isn't about...
Yes, this is the Indie Film Review. We're not the podcast review.
We're not the name drop podcast.
Why are we dropping names on this podcast, you ask? Well, it's simple. Because we are going to talk about two films today. We watched a short film called Puppy.
Yeah.
We watched a long film called Wretch.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, Gary Busey, told me about Wretch. And I said, Gary, you know what? I think I'm going to check that film out.
Did Gary Busey really tell you about this?
Busey? Yeah, Gary Busey did. Oh, shit.
Gary Busey.
Yes, so we watched Puppy and Wretch. And interestingly, they're kind of companion piece.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Very interesting atmospheres that these films create.
It's interesting how interesting they both are. Would you agree, Dan? Well, agree or disagree?
I would agree to disagree, but also agree about agreeing. The idea that we're trying to put forward about these films being similar is that the horror in them is all about the atmosphere and what characters do with said atmosphere, I think.
And also cult shit.
Cult shit, yes. Absolutely.
Am I right?
Yes. So they're both formally and literally quite similar. So we're going to talk about Puppy first, because Puppy was a shorter film. And that was submitted to us by Lindsay something Bennett.
Lindsay Bennett Thompson.
Lindsay Bennett Thompson. Thank you,
you
Jared.
Rube.
Yes. Yes, I am. But Lindsay wrote, directed, and starred in Puppy. It's a cool movie about a cult. I like movies that are about cults. This one was very upsetting, I think, because what Lindsay nails in this short is the behavior of a person who is trying to put her life back together after leaving a cult. And that is a hard transition. And the acting is very believable, I think.
Well, what is the short about? If you can give us a little synopsis.
No, I'd rather just talk about how awesome it is before I get into
and not explain anything.
It's about a mom who escapes this cult leader with her son, who was unborn at the time, but now he is born. And she can't quite get over the draw that the cult has over her psyche.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And should we spoil it? Should we just spoil what's going on?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, so we are gonna spoil this little short. If you want to watch it, where did we watch it from? Let's see.
Well, she sent us a screener.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I know it's running festival circuits. I'm pretty sure.
Well, in any case, thank you, Lindsay, for sending it to us. Hopefully it can be more widely available, or maybe it is, and we just don't know, and we're dumb. Because we are, how you say, privileged.
My intelligence only goes as far as my privilege.
Yes. That money always grew in that tree, and that's just how my life is. Easy. Okay, so in Puppy, it is implied that the mother and son, her son is the product of the cult leader, because the cult cult leader is impregnating his manhood into all of these women, and like all of his cult members are women, it looks like, in the little flashbacks we get. And I guess what's going on is this movie's called Puppy because the kid is a puppy, and there's a line saying that demons are like dogs and mm-hmm. they can be like called up, you know, the same way. And I really thought that was interesting. And so I'm guessing by what happens in the ending that she feels like her son is going to repeat the bad stuff that his father had done. So she is kind of afraid of him and afraid of what he would do.
Yeah.
So she is locking him up in a room and never letting him out, only for his birthday, I guess.
Well, she doesn't even let him out. She just holds a birthday cake close to the door.
Yeah. Well, when he's younger, she's like, hey, we can go for a walk. We can go do drawings and stuff. And he's like, I just want to go to my room. And at first, like, the kid's being a real dickhead. And you're like, why is this kid such an asshole? And then you kind of realize, oh, he's being, like, held captive in his room. I thought this film was very interesting. I really wanted to know more about what was going on, but I guess, I mean, it wouldn't be a short film then.
I loved how a lot was left out of it, and it was very open to interpretation. Like, whenever we find out that he's been locked in his room for that long, there's this really interesting scene where she's looking at the guy's, or the boy's empty room, and she hears growling in it, you know, a la the demons that you were talking about before. So she runs and, like, throws him in the room in, like, a fit of rage and confusion.
Well, I wasn't sure if that was, like, her anxiety manifesting, or if, it, like, we were even, like, if those characters were even hearing those sounds. And I mean, because there was a dog there. There was that white dog.
Right.
Sitting on the kid's bed. And I'm thinking, like, was that dog even real? Or was that, like, a weird
like, a metaphysical stand-in
Yeah, for him being an evil doggo. So there's a lot of interesting things going on in this movie. I thought it was very well acted.
Mm-hmm.
Really good acting. Even by a little kid. Even though he's a dick. But I guess he was supposed to be a dick. And very interesting story. I thought the cult leader guy was, like, perfect casting.
Oh, yeah. They're like, this film really sets up what you need to know in order to experience the trauma, I think, that the woman's going through.
Yeah. And she's certainly not a good character, you know, because you're like, you're locking up someone in a room for their whole life. So that's kind of messed up. But I wish I understood more of the psychology of her being afraid of her son.
Right.
Because I don't know if they really explain that enough. I also thought some of these sound effects, like you're talking about with, like, the dogs barking and some of those other things, felt a little out of place. Maybe it was because I was wearing headphones. I could really hear all the cues.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It felt a little weird to me. I also have to say, earringing sounds.
I knew it. I wrote down that note. I wrote down the note. Like, Jared's going to hate this movie because of that
what
sound.
What the fuck? If you put earringing sounds in your film, I'm going to be mad at you. All right? I hate it. I have tinnitus. It comes on and off, and it is really triggered by earringing sounds in films. I was wearing headphones with watching this. I took my headphones off. I could hear the earringing with my headphones on my shoulders still, and I just waited for it to stop.
It was very loud. That is a big critique that I have for it.
Rough.
Because normally stuff like that doesn't bother me, but this one was, like, in my face. I'm like, God.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Not necessary. There's other ways to show, you know, get people to feel a certain way without having to use that obnoxious sound. It makes me a sad panda, all right?
Well, maybe sad pandas need to be sad for a little bit. Have you ever thought about that?
Maybe, is this some kind of Lars von Trier,
No, it's just an observation.
Provocateur.
It's an observation that you need to be just as sad as you are happy. Otherwise, you will not live a complete, fulfilled life.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I put thumbtacks in my shoes to make me appreciate life. That's right.
All right. Now we're moving on to Wretch, a 2019 film by... Jared, can you say this man's name? Because it makes me smile every time I look at it.
Matthew Dunho.
Matthew Dun... Is it Ho? Or is it Dunihu? Or is it Donahue? Or is it...
Donahue?
Dunho?
Dunhu.
Dunhu?
Dunhu sounds right. Matthew Dunhu. The world may never know.
Well, before we review any good film, we review the name of the director.
That's right, so, that's right.
I'm glad you're listening to this. So Matthew Dunhu, he directed this film, he wrote and directed it, it's called Wretch. It's a, we'll call it a horror movie, that really foregrounds atmosphere and making you uncomfortable rather than scared. Because I was not scared throughout this entire movie. I was very uncomfortable, though. It did its job in that regard. So, Jared, would you like me to tell you a little bit, if I can, about what this film is?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's this guy.
This guy.
Who is in a relationship with another guy, but that other guy's parents don't like the fact that they're in a homosexual relationship.
There's
problem one. There's problem one. Problem two is this guy.
This guy.
This guy. He is somehow part of a strange cult that uses ritualistic events to heal people.
Inceladism, Dan. Duh. How do you not know about this? It's a cult form of energy medicine that affects the cellular change of the self and others through a positive of ritual magic. Are you fucking... How dumb can you be? Everyone knows this.
Anyway, these Enceladism or Enceladist practitioners...
Yeah.
They try to heal people, and the guy's boyfriend is dying of cancer. So they try to heal his cancer. And shit goes south because the people who he conducts these rituals with like are pretty fucking crazy. Is that good?
Yes. Let's do a question.
Yes, please, Jared.
So you were saying this movie is a horror, but you're kind of like iffy on that.
Yes.
It shows IMDb is classified this movie as a horror. I looked at... So there's a few websites you can go to. If you look up Enceladism, it pulls up a fake website that is actually a promotion for the movie.
That's amazing.
And it's a great website. It looks really cool. I love the symbol of the website and stuff. But if you go to actually Wretch.com, it talks about the film in more detail, which I thought was pretty cool. It's a nice little website. But I was trying to find out, like, is this supposed to really be a horror? What's the deal? And my question to you, Dan, is... Is this a horror comedy?
No. If you laughed unintentionally or if you laughed intentionally, I don't think the intent was to be funny. I feel like any time that I did laugh, it was because I was feeling very uncomfortable. But more often than not, just I felt like I was in the room with something terrible happening. And I couldn't... It made my skin crawl. So It wasn't scary, per se. It wasn't like a traditional horror movie, but I feel like this film is getting at the Hereditary feeling, where you're watching something unfold on screen that's not necessarily scary, but it makes your anxiety run through the roof, and you really have to just kind of sit and digest what happens with the characters that are experiencing these horrific things.
Oh, one thing I wanted to mention, too. So, this film was entirely made in Kansas City, Missouri, which I thought was kind of neat. So, it's like all local people from there wanting to just get together and make a film. And it seems like they've been working on this film for a while. Judging from, I watched some of the making of behind the scenes stuff. And they've at least been talking about doing this movie since 2018. Maybe even earlier. But here, I wanted to read an excerpt from this guy, Miko. From a film festival. It's like a quote on their website. Okay. I thought it was really good. Wretch is a satirical art house movie at its purest. It tearfully tears into pieces both taboos associated with illness and the narrow molds of masculinity. The versatile end result at once recalls traditional horror and shows that the indie film still lives in its originality. And that is a lot. That is a lot of sentences. But I thought it was interesting it said satirical. So I'm wondering...
I mean, I feel like there could be some satire in it, but to me, that's not... Like, the deepest I went was there feels like there's a statement being made about homosexuality in the film, so I did pick up on the masculinity aspect of it. But, Jared, I have a better question for you.
Sure, yeah.
Can you... Because it's Enceladism?
Yes.
Enceladism. Right? It's not incendialism?
No, that's stupid.
Okay.
What you said was dumb, and what I said was right.
Well, and we go back and we listen, and I'm the one that's right. Anyway, you seem to know so much about this incendialism. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why do practitioners of incendialism fart a lot?
That's easy. The answer is... Farting feels good, and farting makes you feel good. So you can use fart energy to stabilize the mood. Dan, I will say, I wish there were no farts in this movie.
Really? They take you out of it?
Yep. The atmosphere in this film and how it was making me feel was so strong. I love so many things about this movie. It was giving me, like, David Lynch-y vibes. It was giving me so many different vibes that I was really, really enjoying. And then we get these farts, and they are just, like, 80 yard in, and I don't know why they're there. It feels like this whole movie is trying to get you to feel different emotions and just make you feel weird. And that works, but the farts, man, I don't get it.
This is the third movie, if for those of you paying attention at home, keeping track. This is the third movie that we have covered as the Indie Film Review that has farts featured prominently in the film. The others would be Lighthouse and Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man. Yeah. Well, Swiss Army Man, it made sense. Lighthouse, I don't know why. I mean, it gets kind of passable. In this movie, it was rough. It was rough. I don't know what the deal was. Because is it played for laughs?
I don't know. I can't really tell you.
Confuse you.
But I can tell you a lot about other things.
Dan, did you think it was unfortunate that the name of the magic cult was Incel-adism?
I didn't even put that together.
Like, incel? Yeah. I mean, all of my notes are, guy cut his hand at work. Coworkers use incel magic to heal him. And I'm like,
I didn't even put that together.
Not
That's crazy.
A great name for your magic.
Well, I thought the thing that made me laugh is whenever you are, you know, typically making your, you know, mantras happen, whenever you, you're meditating, you don't say the name of what you're practicing. And if you do, it's like an abbreviated version, not a whole version. Because, like,
the whole thing is say the name.
And that dism just sounds so fucking stupid. That's one thing that sounds dumb, but overall, I have a staunch and very hard appreciation of this film. Like, it's very much a fortress. Like, I have built around this movie because I'm pretty sure it's not getting kind reviews, and I think this film has a lot of magic to it that I want to praise.
There's some really awesome things. I know, like, we're kind of talking badly about this film in this first half, but I actually like this movie.
This movie was fantastic. How many? We'll finish this question and the answer section with this question. How many times did you think the film got either crazy intense or too intense?
Boy, I mean, I never thought it got too intense, but it really put me on edge. I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. The best moments in this movie are the interactions with Jimmy. And Aaliyah. Like, those scenes were
the main character
masterful.
And the hippie lady?
No,
character and his friend.
Yes, his friend.
Or is it no, not the main character, but
God damn it.
The fucking weirdo.
I can just tell you.
Yeah, please.
So let's Okay, so we're gonna spoil the movie now. If you'd like to see it, Where do we see it? Amazon? It's it's somewhere. It just came out. Wretch. I definitely recommend this movie.
I would 100% recommend
it. It's certainly not for everyone, but I think this is like a fun movie you can get together with friends and watch. And you would have a good time.
This movie scared the shit out of me.
Damn. Yeah,
it was pretty awesome.
Okay, so we have Nat, who's the main character.
Yeah, Nat, okay.
Who is a gay man who is dating another gay guy who is also very Christian, who's like maybe trying to not be gay. It's a little vague on that. And then we have Aaliyah, who is his best friend. Then we have Jean, who is the hippie lady that he works at the store at this restaurant with. And then there's Pete, who is the guru guy who does like all the Jimmy is magic.
We don't know this at first, but Jimmy is working for Pete.
Yes, Jimmy is this insane apparition,
burn victim,
freak show burn guy. That actor does such a great job.
The first scene where he terrorizes her was incredible.
It was so good.
Aaliyah's at an AA meeting, guys. And Jimmy sees her there. And Jimmy approaches her after being all bashful and strange. And he's like saying weird shit to her. And she's like, no, you need to leave me alone. And she's trying to shove this guy off and like be nice about it because he seems like a guy that doesn't understand the social norms and, you know, you don't want to offend somebody like that. And she's trying to shrug him off, and then he looks at her and he's like, you need to change your tampon. And then you're like, what the fuck? Oh my God.
Yeah, he smelled that her tampon needed to be changed.
Oh, it's so... I'm like shaking from that, and I'm not even a woman. It's so disgusting.
And then he would, like, run up to her and be like, Aaliyah! Aaliyah! I'm gonna kiss your cousin, Aaliyah! He just kept saying crazy shit. She's, like, trying to get into her house. She's like, try the doorbell, Aaliyah! He's, like, telling her how to escape from him. It was so good. So what I think is going on during all those scenes, which are the best part of the movie, is he's using Enceladism to, like, project himself or, like, attack her psychically somehow.
But why were we focused on Aaliyah?
That's the thing. I'm like, I don't know why Aaliyah had to even be in the equation. Like, I don't get... I guess because she would stop Pete from getting Nat into the cult and, like, getting him to the compound. Because she was, like, worried about him and trying to find out, hey, what's going on with him? So Jimmy was used as, like, a defense to stop her from investigating.
I like that.
But God, I could have just seen a movie with Aaliyah being terrorized by Jimmy. Like, that shit was so fucking good.
It was. It was good. But another thing, amazing. Speaking of how crazy, like, the shit is that Jimmy says, some of the behaviors from Pete and Nat during the seance, those made me uncomfortable. Like, anytime they had a seance scene, all they did was just tell them to go wild, but the way they used the sound effects and the way they used sound design and like score and they made it really upsetting to watch. Like, if there was no score, you'd be like, what the fuck are they doing? They're just flailing about screaming. But with the score, you're like, these people are absolutely insane, and they believe 100% what they are doing with incel magic is true.
I love the soundtrack in this.
And then another scene, oh my God, my favorite scene in the movie. I loved how it was shot. The way this film is shot, whatever camera was used, I couldn't find it online, but God damn, it looked good. And then the filter looked amazing too. But my favorite scene in the film was whenever Nat, it's kind of early in the film, Nat's at his boyfriend's house, and the mom pulls Nat aside and basically says, I don't want you coming here anymore. Oh my God. That scene, like, was intense in its own way. Like, it didn't have me on the edge of my seat, but I'm like, I cannot believe she's confronting him about this in front of her kids. Like, holy shit.
Well, then she does it at, like, when Nat's boyfriend gets better from the cancer.
Yeah.
The magic. They have a getting well party or whatever, like, recovery party, and he wasn't invited, but he shows up. And everybody there, like, kicks him out, and, like, one guy punches him in the face and tells him to leave.
Yeah.
So it felt like a double thing of, because he's black and he's gay, and you have all these white people yelling at him to leave, and you're like, oh, this is not a good look for these people. And of course, what happens to all those really nice people, Dan?
They suffer from Enceladism.
That's right. They get Enceladized, baby.
The black guy, he's like, you know, I gave it to you, now I can take it away, referring to his life. And basically, he uses incel magic to, like, make his brother have a deformity or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they all died. I'm pretty sure they all fucking died yeah, from, like, boils sure. but, and shit.
But before they died, we get to see a really cool makeup job.
So what was going on at the end of the film? Because that was really confusing to me.
Let me see what I wrote in my notes.
Because Pete... Well, there's, like, this one little scene where Jean is playing a trumpet during one of the seances, mm-hmm. and Pete yells at her. He's like, if you ever play that fucking trumpet again. Like, there's this, like, that had to have been played for laughs. There's some certain things that just seemed funny to me on purpose.
Well, okay, so there's one scene, the first time that Nat's at the AA meeting, he's like, I had a dream that pee was leaking from this guy's giant trash can penis. I'm like, what
fuck? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there was another scene where, like, they had a very intense ritual session and then Pete farts. And that was kind of funny. But where was the other one? Pete says this. He's like, your toilet paper is too sandpapery and you need something softer.
Basically, Nat was all messed up after doing one of his first seance. And Pete leans in to him and he was like, hey, do you need anything, Nat? And he just goes, blah, 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 blah. And then Pete turns and goes, he said this, the toilet paper is too sandpapery. And then he says what you just said. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then Nat keeps calling him Papa and, like, just...
Mm-hmm.
The movie is so good at making you feel uncomfortable and weird. And that's what I praise about it.
Absolutely. The biggest critique I have of the film is I feel like it would benefit the audience to know a little bit more about Enceladism.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if we are given more insight to the magic and how it works and how people or why people, maybe not even how, but why people have been practicing it for so long, I would have enjoyed the film a little bit more.
You know what I liked is the mystery of the slug things come out of people's bodies. We didn't even talk about this yet, but there's, like, some Cthulhu alien slug shit that happens. So, I think Pete's motivation is he's trying to live forever.
Yeah.
And he's trying to find people who are susceptible to Enceladism or who can use its power. Do you think that Pete is the slug and the slug came out of him and then, like, the slug took over Nat's body at the end of the film?
I mean, that is one interpretation for sure. I can't say for sure because Pete's whole reason behind doing these rituals is because he's looking for somebody that's going to take over for him. And mm-hmm. he thinks that Nat over Jean is the one that has the power of the healer.
Yeah.
Even though Jean really wants it. So...
Yeah, he fucking straight up kills Jean. And the main character's like, okay. I'm fine with that. You're like, what? Really? All right.
It's a bizarre movie. It's fucking crazy.
And then the scene with Jean is, like, hovering over Nat when he's sleeping, and she starts, like, licking his ear and shit.
Oh my god, what the fuck?
There's so many weird scenes in this movie.
And then he wakes up and he's like, what are you doing?
He's like, get out of here. She's like, no, it was a non-sexual licking of your ear.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's do final thoughts, Dan. What do you think?
Atmosphere done right. The movie looks beautiful. I want to watch it again.
Yeah, I really liked this movie. I thought there were so many good things about it. The farts, definitely.
I didn't mind the farts because of how uncomfortable I was the entire time. Like, this film knows how to tug at those weird things about society that we, I guess taboo would be the correct word for it. It pricks the taboo hairs off of your prickly nose. You know what I mean?
I was certainly interested the entire time this movie didn't lose my attention.
Yes.
So yeah, That's about it. I guess we're going to wrap up this bitch.
You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Facebook, Indie Film Review. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
That's right. And we're also on the Necropodicon Network. Wowee.
The Necropodicon Network?
What's that? Well, I'll tell you, it's a really cool place where you can come talk to us. If you go to necropodicon.com, there's a link to the Discord right there on the front page, and you can come talk to us on Discord. Yay! And there's a bunch of other podcasts that are awesome like us that you can check out. And it's just a really fun little podcast community you can join and say hello to us. Also, I feel like I don't say this enough. Please, you know, rating and reviewing our show is very helpful, and I really appreciate it. But I also think that telling other people about the show, word of mouth, is so important and so helpful. Use your mouth hole and point it at someone, and then make the words that describe the Indie Film Review. And I will forever send you positive energy through my enceladism. And by that, I mean I'll smash a fucking trumpet against the wall. But yeah, thanks for listening, and I appreciate you. Dan, you got the final word.
Yes, do I?
Give me your best chant.
I did not fart while we were filming the film.
Found this Theron Black box. I thought you might want to take a look at it.
She hands over a clear rectangle sheet of black glass with smooth edges.
Oh, wow. This is really cool.
Where did you get that? You shouldn't have that.
I found it on a Theron ship that crashed.
Maybe I could take it to a friend?
I would use the word friend lightly.
Misha walks over to a small filing cabinet that's next to his bed, and he takes a key from around his neck. He unlocks the cabinet, and he pulls out two black cases, which are both marked with Theron symbols.
As you place it down, it instantly lights up.
You know what this means, right?
This could be the chance we've been looking for.
That doesn't sound good.
Sons of the Fathers is a sci-fi horror podcast using the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu role-playing system. It is a Necropodicon original. We advise that the show isn't for children, but is great for those who revel in hapless protagonists facing ever-increasing bad odds. Sons of the Fathers. Boundless space. Endless horror.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.